morning to be in here. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And it could be anywhere else, but who thought it not robbery to be in the house of God? And let's be mindful of our theme for the year, which is the year of what? The year of what? Increase. Spiritual increase. The Bible says, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God will do what? He'll add everything else. Amen. And sometimes we fail to realize, we think we have to do everything. But there are some things that we cannot do. Amen. So if we just seek God first, he said he will add everything else. How many want God to add? Amen. One good thing about God adding something to you, it won't be no sorrow. Because the blessings of the Lord make it rich. And he added no sorrow with it. But our scriptures for spiritual increase is John 3 and 33. And John wrote that he must, and I must. How many of us are really focusing on that for this year, 2017? Amen. From the first day of 2017, are we really decreasing? And is he increasing? We're talking about what kind of increase? Spiritual increase. That's the only thing that counts in the eyes of God is spiritual increase. And then we, 2 Peter 1:5 says, besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith spiritual excellence. Also, it could be moral excellence. So it's spiritual excellence. Moral excellence is how others see you. That is moral excellence. So we want to do what? Add to it. Amen. And he went on, ladies, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? Lie. And cannot see it. In other words, if you don't have spiritual increase, you don't see yourself. And you actually have forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. So we want to increase spiritually. Amen. As long as we're increasing spiritually, we know we have the favor of God. How many want God's favor?
Amen.
Come on, how many want God's favor?
Amen.
If God gives me favor, I don't worry about what anybody else tries to take from me or give to me. Amen. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. We're going to read all of this. We're going to start off in Psalms 139. We're dealing with spiritual increase. And on Sunday, we went over the scripture. It's where's your faith? And in God dealing with the apostles and the faith, the Bible lets us know that there was a time when God already knew what they were thinking. So that's so important. Remember that tonight. God already knows what we are thinking. Psalms 139, we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together, then we'll go over some more afterwards. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 131, for those that have it, and the Bible, for those that don't have it, it's on the screen. The psalmist said, O Lord, thou hast
searched me.
God has what? Searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my paths and my lying down, and are acquainted with
hallelujah.
For they not a word in my tongue. But lo, Lord, thou listen, before you even speak it, God already knows it. Amen. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful thing for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand. Let's keep going down to verse 16. If I say, follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth right there. My substance will not hide from thee. When I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word, and the church said, amen. You may be seated. So what we're going to deal with tonight is God already knows, and you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. God already knows, and you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not, you can't trick God. You can't deceive God. You can't do something that's plain that God cannot see it. He said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh reapeth corruption. And he said, soweth to the spirit reapeth life everlasting. So tonight, God already knows. So the psalmist, David, says, O Lord, thou hast searched me, and you what? Know me. And verse 3 says, you are acquainted with all of my ways. So God knows everything there is about us, even before we try to do anything. Amen. Many times, especially in church, we try to put our best foot forward. And we try to be impressive for others. But how many know the only thing that really counts tonight is what God knows about every last one of us? Amen. We can fool one another, but we cannot fool God. So we say, he has searched me and he has known me. Who does that? God. Now we're going to come back to this. Let's go to Luke, the 6th chapter, for 1 minute. Luke, the 6th chapter, for 1 minute. And we're going to read the 8th verse, just the beginning of that. Now, God knows all of our what? Thoughts. Even on Sunday, we went over, the scripture says that the fool has said in his heart. The fool didn't say it openly, how he said it. But God knew what was in. The fool has said in his heart, he is no God. He didn't say it outwardly, but God so you cannot fool God. Amen. Verse 8, and this is dealing with the religious leaders that was questioning Jesus. And it was on the Sabbath day, and according to the Sabbath day, there was a ritual that you couldn't do anything. And the scripture lets us know that Jesus began to teach on the Sabbath day, and there was a man with a withered up arm. And it says, the Pharisees, the scribe, watched to see what he would do. Right? They watched to see what he would do. But verse 8 said, but he knew. He knew. Yes, people be trying to figure out who Jesus is. God knows our thoughts. And Jesus knows our thoughts. Right? Who told Jesus? Think about this. What Jesus suggested, man, well, how did he know what they were thinking? Because Jesus is God. God knows our thoughts and Jesus knows our thoughts. But he knew their thoughts. So it's so important. No one had to tell him anything because he already knew. Now let's go to Luke and the 5th chapter. And we're going to go to the 22nd verse. This is when they had a man that was crippled and paralyzed and on the bed. And they went up on the roof because they couldn't get to Jesus the regular way. I'm going to tell you something. When you need something from God, don't you let nobody Don't you let nothing stop you from getting to God. Many times we quit because the way seems difficult. The way seems hard. It seems like the challenge is too big. But these four men were carrying the man, and they couldn't get in the house. So they did something exceptional. They took the man up on the roof. How many know it took a lot of effort to get him on the roof? But then they uncovered the roof and let the man down in front of Jesus. Amen. And it says here in the 20th verse of this fifth chapter, and when he saw, when God saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. When he saw their faith, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? But who? But when Jesus, he knew their thoughts. When the Lord knew their thoughts, he said, just to show you, yes, only God can forgive sins, but to show you that the Son of Man has power not only in heaven but on earth, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Because he already knew what they were thinking. The problem with the religious things, they kept trying to trap Jesus. They kept trying to trick Jesus. How can you trick a God that knows all things? The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says in Acts, I believe the 15th or the 14th chapter says, know not the God of what? All of his words. From the, so before it even happened, before this day came, we didn't know what was going to happen, but good, guess who already knew? All right, now let's go back to Psalms 139. So he said, God is acquainted with all of our ways. So it's so important to realize God is never impressed with what we do outwardly. God is only impressed with what we do from the heart. The scripture says, and Jesus dealt with them, he said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then the book of Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so God already knows about us. Amen. And many times we try to fool God. We try to trick God. We present ourselves as though things are all right. But how many know God seeth not as man seeth? Yes, Lord. Yeah, we can only see what's on the outside. But God told Samuel, he said, don't look at the appearance. Don't look on what appears to be great. He said, because I look at the heart. So tonight, many of us want something from God, but what is in our heart? This is the most important thing. Amen. God is more concerned with what's in our heart than what we put out or what others see. The scripture says, Jesus says, judge righteous judgment. So the Lord tonight is more concerned. So we go back to Psalm 139. Now, this is the psalm that shows the greatness of God. You know, when you really read this psalm, it shows the greatness of God. He said, thou compass my path, my lying down, and an appointed verse 3 with what? Listen, there's nothing that you don't that you go through that God don't already know. Is he acquainted with some of our ways? Acquainted means he knows us intimately. It's not just a surface knowing. It's not like, well, I know this or no. God is acquainted with. God knows our frailties. He knows our failures. He knows our shortcomings. Amen. And one of the biggest mistakes that people make in church is they say from the mouth, but they don't mean it in the heart. They say from the mouth, but they don't mean it in the heart. So the Lord goes on to say, for there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou, listen, before you even say it, you already know. A lot of times, you know, you can't disguise a full God because he already knows. So he said, well, that's not really what I meant. God says, not true. Because I know your heart. I know why you said that. God said you cannot pull the wool because I know. So we misrepresent a lot of times what we really mean because we don't want to look bad in the eyes of man. The Bible says, fear not him is able to destroy the body. Don't fear man. Man can only touch your body. But we ought to fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul. So who do you fear tonight? Amen. God is reading your heart. Right now, God is reading all your hearts.
Amen.
Some of y'all parents say, man, I wish you could sit there. God said, all right, man, I'm going to go with something later. Because a lot of times, we say one thing, but that's not the real us. But you cannot fool God. But why did my mind was over here and I was thinking about that. God was like, well, let me go down. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Say, tell me, slow down.
Slow down.
But then speed up. Amen. Verse 5 says, God has presented me behind and listen, he's showing God's greatness. God is everywhere. God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. There is no way that we can go that God cannot find us. Amen.
Amen.
He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. The psalmist said, when I think about God, I can't even figure this out. God's greatness. Amen. When we say stuff, God said, I already knew you were going to say it. Mm-hmm. You know how he said, but I didn't really mean it that way. God says, that's what your mouth said, but what does your heart say? What does your heart say? Because from the abundance of the heart, the what? And if you read that in Luke the 6th chapter, when he gets down to the 45th verse, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. And a tree is known by its fruits. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Then he said a tree is known by its fruit. So the tree is trying to say, I am a lemon tree, but all he's producing is apples. Right. Well, that's like a mockery. That's like he trying to mock God. Because what it means, that's really also, you cannot sow evilness and tell somebody you're good.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Amen.
Are you with me? So we need to work on our heart condition. We need to be right in our heart. But he goes on to say, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He said, now, this is how great God is. He said, if I go up into heaven, now, when he talks about hell, he's talking about the lowest part of the earth, the center of the earth. He's not talking about the hell that we know. He said, if I go down to the lowest parts of the earth, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand leadeth me, and thy right hand holdeth me. If I say, surely the darkness, we're talking about what kind of God? A great God. He said, even the darkness, when you think about darkness covering thee, even the night shall be light. For God, he doesn't care about light or darkness, because God sees it all.
Amen.
God don't need no light vision goggles.
Amen.
You know, go to the morning, you got to ask light vision goggles. God said, don't make a difference, I see it all the same. Because you can't hide from God. He said, yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike. For thou hast possessed my ring, that has covered me in mine. Listen, before I even was out of the, listen, this is his short God's scriptures. Before any of us was born, God already.
Amen.
Then he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee, I called thee. He said, before you even went out, I ordained you a prophet.
Yes.
A unto the nation. When? Before it even came about. Because God already knows. So it's so important to realize tonight, we can fool one another. Have mercy, you cannot fool God. So you might as well walk in your true integrity. And he goes on to say, I would praise thee, for I am fearfully and what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Now this is really is good. He said, my substance was not hid for thee when I was made in. He said, even when I was an embryo, I was not far. He said, I was not hid from thee. So he knew in heaven. He knows in the deep part of the earth. He knew before you were even formed as an embryo, before your substance, even there. God already knew about you. He said, when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thy eyes did seek my
substance.
Now, watch this scripture. We talk about who? Our great God. Mm-hmm. If God saw you before you were formed, God knew thee in your mother's womb. Everything there is, God knows about you right now. Everything there is, you know. He said, thine eyes did seek my substance. Yet being, he said, listen, I was just there. I wasn't even born, but God still knew me. And in thy book, all
my memories.
He said, listen, there was nothing there but my book, but my memories were already in the book. Right? This is, we talk about who? God. Well, if God knew you when there was nothing, you weren't even born, but he put your memories in the book, don't you know he knows about us now that we are born? There is nothing we can hide from God. And he goes on to say, fashion when yet as that I was. So listen, God knew and hold your memory that there was nothing there. Because there is nothing that we can actually hide from God. Let's go to Jeremiah. I think it's the 24th chapter of Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the 24th verse. Jeremiah 23, 24. Now we're talking about a God that you can't fool. Because God knows all about us. Before we were even formed, how many know God knew us? Before we even came out of our mother's womb, the Lord knew you and I. Alright, so let's go to verse 24. Now we're talking about God already knows. If God already knows, then the most important thing is complain. Did the scripture say all in the what heart? Pure. A lot of people are trying to see God, but their hearts. They're not pure. They're not sincere. They're not genuine. It is going through the motion. Only the pure in heart shall see God. And in Titus it says, unto the pure, all things are pure. You know what that means? Even when someone does you wrong, you don't see the wrong. Because you have the eyes of God, so you see the good. Even when said, you know, I know they did you. You know what I'm saying? Nice to them when they know they did you wrong, because unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto the undefiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. So what do you know that means is this? I'm saved, I got Jesus, and I want to be like Christ. So when someone does me wrong, I'd be like Christ. What did he do? He forgave them.
Amen.
Because he was our perfect example. Now if you don't want to be like Christ, when someone does you wrong, you can't wait. It's like a fire burning. You can't wait to get back to them. But the scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the man. Says the who? We want to impress God. After this, we're going to go to Luke, the 16th chapter. All right, but let's go here. It says in this 24th verse, Can any what?
Hide yourself
and what?
See the
faces that I? God said,
ain't
nobody should be trying to shut John to do all these things. You can't hide nowhere, I can't see you. Because I feel all heaven. When Saul will pray this prayer, he said, Lord, I pray for you to get this temple. He said, but the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you. He said, but just remember this place. Right? Just put your name in this place. What did he say? Can any hide himself in? You can't go anywhere and God not see you. You can't. No, people say, I'm going to tell you this, but don't you tell nobody else. You already did that stuff. Before you said, shh, right there. I already know. So we be whispering, doing all this stuff in the corner. I say, you know, you still whispering in the corner? Because you can't hide. There is no way you can go there. I'm going to text. You know, I'm going to text so nobody don't hear. I didn't say, this is a subject here. You know, church people don't do this. But other people. Did you say this? I never would say that. But you text.
Jesus.
Right? You texted. But I didn't say that. I'm like, I've seen this years and I ain't going back nowhere. I just see. Don't go back. I can't go back to the way it is.
Amen.
I've been changed, free, and delivered. All right, keep going forward. You can't go back. But I'm just saying, don't be deceptive. Don't be dishonest. Because you can't hide it. Can you hide it from God?
No.
No, he said, so. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not hear and see him, said the Lord, do what I feel? God said, I feel all heaven and earth. Amen. Now let's go to Luke the 16th chapter. We're gonna jump all over these scriptures tonight. Y'all try to keep up with me. I gave Shire a lot of scriptures. I said, we won't get there, Shire, but we'll get to most of them. Let's go to 16th chapter, the 15th verse of Luke 16:15. I don't think I copied it, so I got to read this. Now, this is God dealing with the religious leaders. This is God dealing with people like that. Anybody see people like that impress people? Want to look good for a man? I just want to look good. What does God see about you? Mm-hmm. Right? They say, ouch. And he says everything in the year they wish. It's on the screen. Yeah, with what?
Justify
yourself where?
Before men.
Don't worry about what they think. Because what? God knows your heart. So, well, what did you mean? Well, I really meant this. God is like, what? He said, wait a minute. You ever had God ever give you a rerun? A rerun means, run that back again. That is not what you meant. You meant just what you said. Don't try to pretty it up now, because you're trying to justify yourself before men. But God says, I know your heart. He said that, so anybody want to get the right one? I'm serious, right on in there. Well, I'm going to please, you know, about God is merciful, I just go later and get that right. Right now, I'm going to tell a lie. That ain't politically correct. I want to tell the half truth. But the half truth is a what?
Lie.
He said, that which is highly esteemed. You better forget about what somebody else think about you. And know that God knows your heart. Because what that is highly esteemed among men is a what? Abomination? Yes, Lord. Don't try to fool God. He already knows. So it's so important tonight as we are living this life. How many want to just live for real?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't no use you trying to justify yourself before men. Because God knows your God already knows you cannot pull the wool over his eyes. So the most important thing is time to come clean. Amen. And there are times we think we can do things and nobody knows about it. Now let's go to Joshua the 7th chapter. Let's go to Joshua the 7th chapter. You don't have to tell people when you do wrong. Because God already knows. Actually, I'm going to just highlight this. All right, Joshua 7, you all can read it. This is when God had performed the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles under Joshua's leadership. They had just destroyed Jericho. But when they destroyed Jericho, God gave them a specific command. He said, do not touch. Do not bring back anything that belonged to these things that are a curse. But Achan saw something. Now listen, who knew about Achan's sin but who? Nobody else knew. Joshua didn't know. The people didn't know. That God knew, right? But who told them? How did God know? Because they ain't no secret place.
Amen.
God said, don't do it. But Achan did it.
Anyway.
But then, when God deals with Achan, God doesn't say Achan has sinned. He says what? Israel has sinned. And because Israel sinned, a victory they should have won, they lost. Because God, listen, when you don't live right and God ain't with you, things that you should win, you're going to lose. Things you should gain, you're going to lose. Why? Because God is not with you. So Joshua, not knowing that Achan had done what God told him not to do. Only God knew this. Only God can give us victories. Only God can give us the triumph. But God could not give him the victory because he worked in disobedience. So when Joshua falls down and begins to say, Lord, what's going on? God said, Joshua, get up. That's what he told him. Joshua, get off your face and stop all that crying. He said, Israel has sinned. Joshua, well, God, I didn't know God said that I knew. He said, no, man, you go separate them by families. Separate them by tribe. And then if the tribe of Judah was chosen, and then Achan was chosen. Right? So Joshua said, Achan, give glory to God. Tell what you've done. He said, I took a Babylonian garment, and I took some gold, and I hid it in my... But how can you hide it from
God?
God knew it. So a lot of times we think we... And this is an individual thing, but it also works corporately. Because when the church is not all together, God cannot bless as a whole. God blesses what? Unity. Unity is so important that the Lord couldn't even give them the Holy Ghost. Till they were all in one accord in one place in the what? Upper room. And before he could even do that, before he could get the Holy Ghost, he had to go get Donald Thomas to get right. God blesses unity. But God won't bless when we're not all on the same page. So it's so important as a church, don't say one thing and do another. Alright? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. I got through about one third of the scriptures, but I got a little more time. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33, and I'm gonna drop down to the 19th verse, but I'll fill in up to the 19th verse. I think it's 19th or the 29th verse. I'm not sure. I don't know, see. What happened was Judah had been carried away into Babylon. And while they were in Babylon, God begins to deal with Ezekiel. And God shows him now. He said, the watchman on the wall. He said, if the watchman blows the horn or the trumpet, and the people don't respond, then God's going to require them at their hands. But if the watchman is on the wall and don't blow the trumpet, he said, then God's going to require them that fall at the watchman's hand. So God tells Ezekiel, he said, son of man, thou art the watchman. In church, God did all the watchmen. And this is what they went over in Georgia. They said, there are a whole lot of saints in church. It's trying to tell the pastor what to do. How many of God on the hands what? Y'all want me to walk down the hall from y'all see this? Y'all see that? God only got what?
One
watchman. So God tells Ezekiel, he said, you're the watchman. And then he goes, I don't know how they live yet, that's good. But I'm going to come up to 20 now. I'm just filling in for y'all. So he tells him, he said, now listen, if someone has been saved all their life, fall from their righteousness and begin to transgress, he said, they're going to perish in their sin. But someone that has messed up all their lives and then they did it right, God said he will forgive them. So the people told God, you're not fair. You're not equal. That's wrong. How can someone be saved and then they mess up and you say, because they're trying to hide from God. But then a person that has messed up gets it right. God said, I will have mercy on them. Amen. Now that brings us up to this 29th verse of Ezekiel 33. Now, let's pay attention. Ezekiel is the what? Watchman on the wall. His job is to what? Warn. His job is to what? Warn the people. He said, when you see trouble or the sword or passion, anything coming, he says, warn it. Listen, the reason they only had one watchman, listen, watch this. If they had more than one watchman, when everybody started blowing the trumpet, 1 Corinthians 13 said, who can discern the sound of the trumpet? Because it's making an unusual noise. So they can't discern because there's too many trumpets being blown. So the people don't know what to do, where do we go? So God said, I only have one watchman. This is God's order. He said, then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all there which they have committed. Next verse. Also, son of man, the children of thy people still are. He said, wait a minute, you don't watch me. Now, Ezekiel didn't know this. He said, the people are talking against thee. Why? By the walls. They said, yes, we are with you, Ezekiel. God says, they are not with you. Right? I'm just saying, how do you know God already?
Amen.
Ain't no use in trying to trick God. Ain't no use in trying to get a camaraderie together when you're not going to be. Listen, are we all in this as one? Or we're not. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
So he says, speak against thee by the wall in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh. So they're all coming to church to hear the word of the Lord. The next verse. And they come unto thee as a people coming, and they sit before thee as? He said, they come as my people. They're going through the motions. They're listening. They're listening to what you're saying. He said, they come as a people. And they hear thy words, but they. Because it's something in the heart. So I want to look good. I want to look like I'm a part of it. But you cannot fool God. Unfortunately, Ezekiel didn't realize the people he thought was with him. God knows how to separate.
Yes,
amen. Yes. He said, for with their mouth, they do show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely son. God, like, oh, Jesus. You know the praises, hallelujahs. He said, like a lovely son. It's all that to them. watch that. They ain't really with you. Love is all and can play well on the instrument, for they hear thy words. But they
not.
We're talking about what's in the heart, though. A lot of times we go through the motions. How do you want to be saved?
Amen.
I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, I baptized, I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. You can't run from me. I got to run for my side. But you can't run if you're not right. Now let's go to Isaiah the 58th chapter. Are y'all keeping up?
Amen.
It's no use in playing with God. Either we are on the Lord's side or we're not. So it's so important tonight. Let's just do what's pleasing in His sight. Amen. Isaiah 58 chapter. I'll go on my Alright. Now we're still talking about what? The watchman is on the wall that's trying to help. I mean, the only reason God has pastors is to help keep the people together.
Amen.
So there's not disorder. So there's not chaos. But God can't have a whole bunch of pastors in my church. Because when everybody's not blowing the trumpet, that confuses the people. Why does blowing the trumpet over here? Now there's blowing the trumpet over there. So they don't know what to do because there is confusion. I heard the Bible say that God is not.
Producing wickedness?
fast is not producing anything because you're fasting for strength. You're fasting. It doesn't do you any good to fast and be that right there because God will not. He said, God will not hear you. Amen. He said, you don't see it. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and thou taken no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and strife the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this thing to make your voice. What are you doing all that talk? What are you going to tell everybody you fast? You fast just so everybody can hear your voice or not? I've been on a 50-day fast. The Bible says when you fast, you're supposed to be between who? He ain't supposed to broadcast it. You're not supposed to be like a hypocrite. Make broad the phylactery, put all and do it all. You're not supposed to be fasting for anybody but what? God. So you fast to be heard on high. He said, is it such a fast that I have? God said, wait a minute. That fast ain't for me. You're not doing it for the what? The right reason. God knows why you're doing it. And a lot of them, maybe fast for 40 days, you'd be sleeping and eating anyway. Seriously. Hey, you know, 40 days fast. How are you not supposed to hear it? Because after the first week, you're going to be going down. Then after the first week, your weight be going up. Man, you know, all person put on a 40-day fast and gain 10 pounds.
Chewing and snapping everybody up, break the fast.
because it's not producing what God wants it to produce. Amen?
Amen.
He said, when you do it right, then verse 9, then shall not fall in the Lord shall. As long as you're doing it wrong, keep calm. God will not answer you. Well, why won't God answer you? The heart is not right. God only blesses a contrite and a broken spirit. He said, now when you do it right, when you call, I will. He said, I will answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. That's a lot of that, but I'm not going to go there. Let's just keep going because we're running out of time. Amen. So it's so important tonight. Who all is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Let's go to John, the second chapter, verse 23. Actually, I can't get to all these scriptures. We get far enough to know what we need to do. Amen? John 2, 23 to 25. Now, we're dealing with the Lord dealing with us. How many know that when God deals with us, he already knows everything that God does because he's acquainted with what? Did the scripture say God's acquainted with all of us? So I might not know you, but guess what? God knows. I might be able to fool you. I might be able to do all this. You know, you ever see some people years ago, 100 years ago, when I was younger. 100 years ago, Pastor. So I'm going to be like 110, 20 years ago. 100 years ago, I used to see people do stuff. And, yeah, I pulled the wool over their eyes. Come on. That ain't what saints are supposed to do. We're supposed to do it sincerely and in truth. God looketh for such. Right? They that worship the Lord have to worship him in falseness and in hypocrisy. They that worship him must worship him their own way. When you worship God the right way, you know what God is looking for you. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself. God said, I thank your parents if you live. God said, I stand for you. And anybody come in like a flood. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against you. Why? Because you're living right. God is looking for you. The Father seeketh such.
The scripture that he needed not to be
because he knew.
Yes.
Of him, man.
Amen.
So everybody is in church praising and shouting the Lord in for the right reason.
Amen.
We might not know, but guess who knows?
God
certainly knows. Amen. Let's go to Job 42. And we're talking about being for real with God. How many of you just want to be real with God?
Amen.
Listen, it doesn't do us any good to impress one another. It does no good to you. You know, like I said, I went somewhere one time and there's a preacher there. So the preacher was tired, getting ready to go up there. A couple of us preachers went in, all of a sudden the preacher got energized. What just changed? Trying to impress us? Don't impress anybody with God. That's the only one that counts. Don't impress. Look at somebody and say, don't impress anybody with God.
Don't
talk to somebody. Say, don't be trying to be impressive. God already knows anyway. You can't be on him. Amen. You can't be impressive. Well, Job says that this is at the end of Job's long journey. This is after Job had gone through. This is after Job has finished fighting for three friends. He has finished. And then God has sent Elihu in his stead. He has finished dealing with Elihu. Job was so self-righteous that God said, wait a minute, Elihu step aside. He said, I gotta go help. I gotta get Job. Because Job is self-righteous. Did y'all know that? Job was self-righteous. Man couldn't reach him, so God himself had to come and start talking to Job. Trying to get Job to see himself. Whatever you do tonight, when you need, please see yourself.
Amen.
And then you ought to still go to impress one another. You gotta see yourself. So Job, God's beginning to Job, talk to Job. Job, as the Lord said, I know. After God finished asking Job all these questions, Job said, wait a minute, I'm gonna shut up now. Job said, I can't say anything to God. He said, Lord, God knows. He said, I can do anything. And no cause. Can be what?
Holding
for you. Job went through, but he finally got it. It doesn't do us any good to try to impress one another. Because God knows.
Amen.
Isaiah the 29th chapter. All right, my time is running out, so I don't want y'all to start running out on me. Do like they used to do at the Baptist church. You know when they used to go to the Baptist church? When they didn't want the people to run out. The preacher said, lock the doors. The preacher said, lock the doors. No, the washers, lock the doors. And Brooke found out we went down south to the Baptist church and said, no joke. All right. Brooke found out the Baptist, us people ain't no joke. They said, lock the doors. When they said, lock the doors, that means nothing moves. So don't make me have to lock the doors. Alright, Isaiah 29:13. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
We all with me. The 13th verse said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their
mouth.
But the real ish, and they honor me with the, but the real issue is their hearts are removed. God wants your heart. He doesn't want anything more than your heart. Their hearts move far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall, the wisdom of their wise men shall what? Perish. And the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. I'll keep going. He says, woe!
We
They're trying to hide it.
From the Lord.
They're trying to hide it. It says, woe. Absolutely not. Woe to them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words are in the dark, and they say,
who seeth us?
And who seeth us? And what?
Who knoweth us?
Who knoweth us? I don't want to close here. I don't have it there. Go to Ezekiel 8, chapter 12, verse. We'll close here. That's good. We got it, right? Don't we have the gist of it?
Yes.
Ezekiel, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, I think. If it's not right, I'll give my Bible. The most important thing for any of us to realize tonight is God sees us at all times. We can't plan, we can't connive, we can't do anything to get by with God because God sees us. We can't say yes when we meant no because God knows. We cannot trick God. We can fool one another, but we cannot fool God. Amen. The Bible says that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner
and God live?
If we're doing the best we can, and we're going to just barely make it in, how can we have step if we're going to make it in? And if you want to make it in, you might as well get it right. It don't start on the outside, it starts in your heart. Amen. Now this is the Lord, he's showing Ezekiel. He takes him in the vision back to Jerusalem. Now these are the ancient men. These are the ones that should, look at somebody and say, they should have known better. They should have known better. But if we're not careful in this life, we get caught up in the rat race of life. We let others influence us. Remember, he just said their fear of God was taught based on the precepts of man. When we go by the commandments and the teaching of man, we make the word of God a non-effect. Amen. So we don't want to do that. So he says, they should have known. And this goes on a lot deeper. He shows them stuff that they're hidden in the wall. He shows them praying to taboos. He shows girls them crying. The women cry for taboos. He shows the men praying to the east like they're praying to the gods. Right? He showed Ezekiel all of this. Then he said, then said he unto me, son of man, has thou seen? These should have what? No better. As long as you've been in church, how are you being influenced by ungodliness? How are you being influenced? You've been in church for too long. These are the ancients. You've been around too long. Right? What the ancients of the house of Israel do? Remember in Psalms, he said, the dark and the light are the same for God. So because they're doing it and nobody can see them, they fail to realize. God still sees them. Every man in the chamber of his own imagery, for they say, listen, whatever you do, God sees. God fills heaven and earth. There is nowhere we can go to hide from God. Don't think that, you know, yeah, well, let's go, I'm going to come over to your house. You know, y'all going to do this. I'm just trying to show y'all. Watch these people to do this. Watch people, they go, right? Remember they said they were with the watch, but they really weren't with it? Watch those whispers. Whispers get you in trouble with God. Because they fail to realize God is not being. You just feel this one and tell that one. God's dead. How many know God says how we look? Mm-hmm. It's like, what? So God is just watching all this takes place. Then you go outside and fall down and break your leg. You know why? Because God tries to get our attention. God loves us so much, even when we're wrong, God corrects us.
Yes.
Because God says everybody else is looking at the outward appearance, but God is looking
at the heart.
He said, the Lord seeth us not. God definitely sees us. All right, this is the last one. I'm talking about 1 Samuel 16, 7. Y'all agree? I ain't going to go further. Y'all really? Go to 1 Samuel 16. Tonight, we just want to be right in our hearts, right? doesn't do it, listen, it doesn't do you any good to impress me, and it doesn't do me any good to impress you, if we're not in favor with God. That's the most important thing. Be in favor with God. Forget about everybody else. You know, that time, I've had a lot of situations that made me mad, but I stopped. Seriously, I stopped. Matter of fact, who we had the other day? Who was with me the other day? This guy was blowing his horn and running me up the road because I had to stop for somebody. And then he passed me. Took everything in my power for him not to cheat. I'm like, God, I know you're watching me. What am I supposed to do? The plow truck was coming, right? So, you know, you're supposed to get the plow trucks right away so they can do it again. This guy, oh! What's he doing? Oh! So I started to pull over. I'm like, no, keep running. This guy comes up and says, you know what, Lord, I know you're watching me. I'm going to get myself in trouble with you. Then I said, you know what? He went one way. I said, I purposely went the other way. Right? You know why? Because I want to protect my own weakness.
Amen.
Because I didn't want to get in trouble with God. All right. The Lord said to Samuel, stop looking on his. Samuel was a godly man. Samuel spoke to God. God spoke to Samuel. But even Samuel made the mistake of judging based on our
appearance.
Was Samuel godly? Yes. He was the last of the last of the judges. Right? So he said, look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature, because I have
refused him.
Whoa. How did Samuel make that mistake? Because he was judging based on the outward. But God said, I don't want you to do it on the outward. I want to do it based on the. He said, for the Lord seeth not as for man
looketh on the outward appearance.
But how many know God, as we all say? God looks where? God looks in our heart. Tonight when we leave church, I just want my heart to be clean. I want my heart to be right. You know, God loves us so much that in our error, he tries to correct us. God loves us so much that when we go the wrong direction, he tries to. How many likes redirection? If your GPS, you don't know about a GPS, seriously. And you make a mistake, and the GPS says what?
Reroute.
I'd rather have my spiritual GPS.
Amen.
If I'm going the wrong way, Lord, reroute me.
Amen.
Because the purpose of the reroute is to get you back on the
right
time. Tonight is so important. Can we just be right in our hearts? Can we just tell the Lord, thank you?
Thank you.
Thank God for loving us enough that he don't let us go in error without trying to correct us. Thank God that he loves us enough to reroute us again.